Judy, could you give me a list, just name them, the several organizations or associations you've had, first in Pittsburgh or anywhere else, I suppose, that I think we might want to talk about? Now, it doesn't have to be everybody, but let's, and then I'll go through them one at a time.
Okay.
At least to a brief extent. What do they do, and what's your possibility, what's your interest in it? And do you think that there's some comment you can make that would be constructive in that in the individual context of them?
Okay. Well, depending on how far back
you
want to go.
Wait a minute. Where's your...
Oh, I got it. Okay. The first organization that really had an impact on me is not a Jewish organization. It's called the American Field Service. It's a student exchange program. It is now run in probably 90-plus countries. When I was in high school in Fairfield, Connecticut, in 1957, we had our first exchange student. And in 1958, I was my high school's first exchange student, and I went to Italy. And it had a tremendous impact on me. I had obviously never been out of the country. I was the daughter of two teachers.
You mentioned that in our first interview.
So that had a tremendous impact on me. It's an organization for which I worked for several years. I mean, as a volunteer, I used to take students off the boats at the Hoboken docks and get them onto the right buses, et cetera, and I worked raising money for them for a while. Other organizations. Well, in the general community, we'll jump around. The general community, one of the organizations that I work for in this community is PRASAD, which is a gay and lesbian psychological support group, counseling group.
What do you call it?
PRASAD, P-E-R-S-A-D. It's been around since 1972.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's located about a dozen blocks from St. Francis Hospital. It is a private, nonprofit, publicly supported organization that does counseling for gays and lesbians. Mm-hmm. I became involved in it about, I'm going to say a decade ago. A very dear friend of mine, who I went to high school with, had AIDS, and I got involved. He didn't live around here. He lived in Provincetown, Massachusetts, and he subsequently died of it. And I got involved in a project they have, which is Art for AIDS, which is a major fundraiser that occurs. In fact, we have a meeting. We have a big event this May 5th, and then we have the auction on May 15th. I won't be here. I'll be in Europe, but the auction is on May 15th, and it raises about the auction itself raises about $250,000 a year for the activities of PRASAD. Which is not just AIDS stuff, it's psychological counseling for gays, lesbians, bisexuals, et cetera. I became involved through Arts for AIDS, and I then, one of the very few straight people who took their public speaking course. Now, it wasn't to teach me how to be a public speaker, I'm a public speaker, but it was to teach me what I didn't know.
Subject.
The subject, okay? And we worked for a period of about 5 months in training sessions, educational seminars. So I've been involved with PRASAD. I do less of that, and I don't do any public speaking for them anymore because I'm not around to do it. I'm usually out of town. But PRASAD is an organization that I got involved in. I obviously was involved at Chatham College. I was president of their alumni association. I was on the board when I was the president of the alumni association.
Give me some dates on that.
I became the president in the fall of 1978, and I did it for 2 years. And I was a member of the board of trustees while I was the president. And I have gone back and been a speaker for them on certain things, et cetera. And I've helped them fundraise. Within the Jewish community, I've been on lots of boards. I was on SAGIS for years, School of Advanced Jewish Studies. I was an officer.
What's the status of SAGIS?
Sagis exists at the JEI. Sagis
is now JEI.
No, Sagis is part of JEI.
Oh, okay.
Just the way the community day school is part of JEI.
Right.
There are different branches of it, you know, different focuses, foci, I guess is the word. And Sagis is a school for advanced Jewish studies, and Sagis is still the only trans, what's the word I'm looking for?
Yeah, denominational.
Trans-denominational. Quote-unquote Hebrew high school type, Jewish education high school age type in this city, and I was associated with it for many, many, many years, and I was an officer for a while, and it's not the finest Jewish educational system, but it did a great deal for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of Jewish kids.
Mm-hmm.
They not only learned things that they ought to learn, but they had, it was a venue for the association of Jewish kids from all, Jewish teenagers from all over the city. Who did it? Both my kids graduated from Sagis, and I will always be grateful that they did. I was a member and an officer for years of the Jewish Home when it was the Jewish Home. Riverview Center is what it was when I was an officer and a member of the board.
Of the Home or the Riverview?
No, of the Home. Of the nursing home.
You have anything to do with it now?
I have very little to do with it now, except I'm on a Federation Review Board of its finances. But I mean, in terms of its...
Why is there such special difficulty in acquiring and maintaining a competent staff there, more so than other of the homes in the area, like Canterbury House, which is...
There's not more trouble there than there is in any place else. There's only one that
and
I know
why
that...
Why does it seem so?
Well, because you hear about it more. You're interested in more because you're not interested in Canterbury.
Well, anyway, it's no good.
No, it's not. That's not true.
Good. I'm glad to hear you.
That is not true. It doesn't mean it couldn't be better, but it is not true. And what people don't understand is that 75% of the people who are there are on Medicaid, and which is true of many nursing homes all over the country. But, you know, they're Medicaid. They're being supported by the government. The new building is absolutely gorgeous and functioning much better.
Mm-hmm.
One of the major things that this would be of interest historically, I was given a chairmanship, which I did not seek, and I'm not sorry I had it, but I'm glad I'm through it. I was made the chairman of a committee to determine what to do with all the plaques at the Jewish Home.
What year was that?
About 4 years ago.
Yeah.
3 years ago.
Whenever they took the plaques down.
Right.
Including my parents.
That's correct. Now, what people did not know is that there were 14,000 plaques at the Jewish Home. And many of the floors were like living mausoleums.
Yeah.
People rode down in their wheelchairs or whatever, and they were constantly confronted by the plaques of all the people that had died in the place before them.
$50 and $100 notations.
Whatever it was, it was dreadful from a psychological point of view.
Yeah.
In any case, when the new building was going up, it was very obvious we were not moving 14,000 plaques. We had no place to put them, and we were not going to redecorate the new building with 14,000 plaques.
Mm-hmm.
I was made chairman of the committee to figure out what to do. And it's probably one of the most significant things I ever did in this community, and one of the least known, and that's fine. Sylvia Robinson asked me to chair it, and I did. And we created a committee with Herman Feinberg and people like that. People of a relatively advanced age who had been involved in the Jewish community for decades, who had been involved at the Jewish Home for decades, who represented various groupings within the city, in terms of different groups of people within the city who had an interest in all this. We formed a committee to discuss what to do. My agenda was we were never going to move these plaques, but I had to move this committee to the point of assuming that we would never move the plaques. And what we determined was that all the plaques were coming down, but we did photograph them in place. There are photographs of all the walls that had the plaques. And we created in the new Jewish home in the mm-hmm. Weinberg mm-hmm. Village. We created a computerized kiosk. I can go in and I can type in my father's name, who died in 1971. My in-laws had put up a plaque in his memory. So I can type in my father's name and his name will come up and it'll show that Dr. and Mrs. Joseph Palkovitz put the plaque there, and it'll show the date that my father's yahrzeit and the date he died, etc. So all the information is still accessible. And in fact, it's far more accessible to the general public than it ever was in the past. But we don't have the plaques. The big problem was, what do you do with the plaques? We sent a letter to everybody of record. That means anybody who got a yahrzeit notice about a plaque got a letter saying that if they wanted, they could get their plaque back. Very few people wanted their plaque back. But some people wanted their plaque back.
I didn't take my mom's back.
Right. There is no actual halakhic significance to these plaques.
No.
Absolutely none. But people imbue them with halakhic significance. They imbue them with all kinds of feelings. I never wanted there to be a picture of a dumpster filled with big and little plaques. You know, I mean, that would have just, you know.
Terrible look.
Yes, it would have cooked our goose, to say the least. Besides, not only would it be bad PR, it would be a terrible thing to have that happen. So what we did was we told everybody that whatever plaques were not returned, okay, that somebody wanted, we interred all of them. We buried them on the site. They were all buried like a ritual burial, like you bury a talus or you bury any other, you know, a Torah or whatever.
I didn't know that.
They are buried on the site, and there's going to be a statue put up in memory. You know, I don't even know what form the statue is going to take. And so what we did is we preserved all the plaques to the extent that they are buried. We didn't just toss them on a garbage heap, okay? But we did not move them to the new building. And if you go to a building like the new JCC building and you're up on the second floor, it's the second or it's the third floor, some of the plaques that used to be in Oakland, some of the big room plaques, are up on a wall, okay? But not all the plaques that were in the building were moved. But they moved, quote-unquote, the significant ones. We were not going to determine what was significant and what wasn't significant, and we had 14,000 plaques. They only had maybe 50, okay? But we determined they should be interred, which is exactly what happened. So they were buried on the site, okay? And if people imbue them with some religious meaning, they have been given a rabbinic burial, okay? But in fact, it was a very difficult thing, and a lot of people did, you know, there's nothing that the community accepts. You like these kinds of questions.
Question.
Obviously. The reason to do it is many, but the main. Israel, and they were helping the economy, and so $1 million bond. We're not talking a $500 bond. They buy a $1 million bond. Okay.
That is exactly the point of my question.
Yeah, I know. I mean, the whole purpose is, yes, we raise money, you know, and yes, we, you know, the money helps us, but there's an emotional connection, there's an educational connection. You know, a lot of people who don't give money to anything else buy bonds. It doesn't mean you're giving money anywhere, but it is money. And many other things. Bonds is just one of those things. Another organization, the old Bechon. Membership at Prozetic until 1988, when, and I'll go into why we carried places throughout. But we had made, we had members of both Bechon and Prozetic, you know, forever. And shortly after we joined the Bechon, Al Smolliver decided to get me involved with the Bechon over the years. And I very quickly became a member of the board, and then I became an officer very quickly. And I was an officer in 1988 when I lost an election. Anyway, I was at the at Beth Shalom and extremely active until 1988.
What year was Beth Shalom activities?
1975 to nine. Well, they continue to this day, but I'm no longer an officer. I stopped being an officer in 1988. I am a lifetime member of the board. And the reason I'm the youngest lifetime member of the board, and I've been the youngest lifetime member of the board, and probably always will be the youngest lifetime member of the board for a very long time. And that's because when you're an officer, you never go off the board. And consequently, at the end of 15 years, you get to be a life board member. And I lost the election in the end of my 14th year. And when the shul approached me a year later and asked if I would consider coming back on the board, and they wanted me, it was a sincere question, but they didn't expect me to say yes. I said yes, and I said yes for a very parochial reason, because unlike anybody else in the congregation, I knew that 15 years made me a life board member, and I knew I had 14, and I wanted standing to walk into that meeting whenever I damn pleased and say whatever I damn felt like, and nobody could stop me because I had would be a life board member, and I am a life board member, and I don't go very often to board meetings. I only go when something irks me.
The year you lost the election?
1988. Mm-hmm. Why I lost the election is very interesting. I lost the election for two reasons. There were people who didn't like Judy Palkovich. They never liked her, and they loved the opportunity to be able to vote against her. Most of the time, you didn't get to vote. You had to have a contested election. I mean, otherwise, you know, there was a contested election. There had been others, but there was a not for me, but there was a contested election in 1988. And the contested election had to do with the fact that I had asked Petey Robbins to run to be an officer. He was married to a cousin of my mother-in-law's. That's not why I asked him, but I asked him because I thought we needed some new blood in the officer corps, and I thought Petey would be a good person. And we no sooner started to nominate him, he was a member of the board, he stood up at a board meeting and he declared that he didn't think we should go progress at all in terms of women's participation at the Beth Shalom. We were, according to our constitution and our bylaws, a traditional congregation, and therefore women should stay just where they were. And I immediately decided I had made a very big mistake by inviting him to try to become a vice president, and I actively worked to stop his becoming a vice president. Well, we therefore ended up with a contested vice president election. There were three vice presidents at the Beth Shalom. There were four of us running, and I was defeated. I was defeated, as I said, there was a group of people who never could stand me. There's another group of people who didn't think women ought to be doing this kind of thing, even though we had two female presidents of the congregation. Then there was a whole bunch of people who were just, you know, couldn't have cared less one way or the other. And then Petey got the entire men's club, of which he had been a past president, he was a past president, to actively work to defeat me, which they did, much to the chagrin and surprise of a lot of people, but they did a pretty good job. And so I was no longer a vice president, no longer an officer. Many people were surprised that I showed up at Shul that Shabbos, 3 days after I lost the election, but I had to walk my Shul. And I've maintained... when I chose to be. My children thought I was nuts. They thought I should just find a new shul. Mm-hmm. Because
have you had anything to do with all the politics other than membership? In other words...
No, not really. Well, we did it was more than... It was nominal financially, yeah. And nominal in terms of our... I mean, we paid our dues. We did it for a very specific reason. My in-laws were members of Polizetic. If you were a member, you had seats for the holidays. My husband's seat was next to his father's. That meant that by maintaining our membership, he could go down there for second day of Rosh Hashanah or part of Yom Kippur, and he had a seat, and he didn't wasn't by anybody's leave. He could do. I had my permanent seat.
Okay.
It was so my husband could go to shul with his father whenever he wanted to, and he didn't have to ask anybody for permission to sit next to him. So his seat was always there, and if he wasn't in it, somebody else could be. But he, we left for a reason, and I was not the impetus to our leaving. Done away with the microphone, and they had done away with lots of things, and it was all kinds of things. So Harry decided he wrote the rabbi a letter and said he didn't agree with him philosophically, and he chose to terminate his membership. He could have just sent a check in and done anything, but he actually chose to let the rabbi know that we didn't like what was going on, so we stopped. That light is flashing. Does that mean something?
Yeah. That means it's picking up.
Oh, okay. All right. I just want to make sure we start. Okay, so that was Polizetic. So we stopped being members of Polizetic. We've gone to different things when they honored Harry's grandfather as one of the oldest members. We went, et cetera. But we're no longer members of Polizetic. Trying to think. I've been on the ADL board for years.
Which board?
Anti-Defamation League.
ADL.
But without any particular distinction. I just, they wanted me. I said, yes, I go when I'm around. I was very active at the... I became very active at the Federation around 1980. Actually, Harry and I took our first trip to Israel on a Federation mission in 1978. And although we had been contributors, we were certainly not any kind of major contributor. And we went on, that was our first trip to Israel, changed our lives in that respect, et cetera. But at the Federation, and that's a whole different, at the Federation, I was chairman of the Synagogue Federation Relations Committee for several years, which was always very interesting. And Harry had various chairmanships. He was human resources chairman, et cetera.
Did the Synagogue Relations Committee accomplish anything at all?
No, yeah, first of all, it's the only place where anybody ever sat down to talk to somebody
from
another.
That's what it says, but so what? I mean, did it...
Oh, no, lots of things don't become problems when people sit around the same table and start to talk. The Federation was given, what's the name of the award? Anyway, I'll think of the name, but it's an award that was given out by the National Federation Movement. And we got an award literally for the creation of the Synagogue Federation Relations. It wasn't because of anything we did, but our creation of this committee got us this big, very prestigious award. Because, in fact, the three branches, we say there are four, but the three branches never really sat down at the same table. And this was set up so that all synagogues were represented. And so there were things that it did. There were lots of things it didn't do, but lots of things were, just like I said, when we got the four branches together around genetics, you know, and they all got into the same room, you know, there are certain fulcrums to get people into the same room. That at least met on a regular basis, and people showed up, and lots of times absolutely nothing happened.
Nothing happened in the 2 years.
You know, but we did a bunch of things. We helped create the Jewish Cemetery Association in this city, which is now very viable, and which is maintaining cemeteries that, you know, have been relatively abandoned or don't have anybody left to take care of them. There's lots of things that came out of it, okay? But we, in fact, ended it. It went out of existence. It went out of existence because, in fact, there was no agenda that was making any sense to anybody, and some of us just decided it was time to pull the plug. But it did accomplish certain things. I'd have to really scrape my memory to be able to give you a list. But certain things got done. We did educational programming together. We tried some citywide membership campaigns where synagogues didn't compete, you know, where they were trying to, you know. We tried to do things. Some things got done, and I think it made a positive difference. It didn't make an amazingly positive difference. I mean, you couldn't say, oh, we did this. Oh, it probably lasted a decade because it was in existence before I got to be a chairman.
By
and it was
1990, it was gone.
I would imagine so.
Yeah.
If I had to say so.
Close enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There were lots of other things. I was involved in fundraising at the Federation. I was the women's campaign chairman 1 year, and I was, I guess that was 1991-92, and I was co-chairman of the Exodus campaign when we were raising the money to get the Soviet Jews out. I've been lots of things. I'm currently finishing 3 years as the CRC chairman, which is the Community Relations Committee.
Okay, what about that? Talk a little bit about the Community Relations Committee.
The Community Relations Committee is the interface of the Jewish community to the non-Jewish community. CRC, Community Relations Committee.
Yeah.
And the CRC is the place where we do lots of things. We used to... The CRC is the voice of the Jewish community, or the interconnect with the Jewish community, with the Catholic Church, with the Protestants, with the Arabs. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't other organizations doing it, but when the community speaks, as opposed to a single organization, it speaks through the CRC. And the CRC is a wonderful organization. Next Friday, on the 11th in the morning, we're going to have a... forum. Bishop Worrell will be speaking, and we'll have representatives from all kinds of Protestant faiths and the Jewish community in an anti-violence thing. It's actually, you know, anti-gun, but we now call it anti-violence. And that's the kind of thing the CRC does. It promotes intergroup relations. Now, it also promotes intra-group relations. One of the things the CRC has been doing for the last few years is it's been convening a group of Jewish professionals, that is, people who work for Jewish organizations, okay? Like they work for a synagogue or they work for the Jewish Family Service or something like that. And they have been meeting and talking and sharing their views of religion and learning about each other, and it's been very successful. And we sent a mission to...